The Pilgrim's Progress, Chapter 5. When we left off Pilgrim in our last session, he had just come through the valley of the shadow of death, and dawn was breaking, and he gave thanks unto God. And he said, His candle shines on my head, and by his light I go through darkness. In this light, therefore, he came to the end of the valley. Now I saw in my dream that at the end of this valley lay blood, bones, ashes, and mangled bodies of men, even of pilgrims that had gone this way formerly. And while I was musing what would be the reason, I espied a little before me a cave where two giants, Pope and Pagan, dwelt in old time, by whose power and tyranny the men whose bones, blood, and ashes, and so forth, lay there were cruelly put to death. But by this place Christian went without much danger, whereat I somewhat wondered, but I have learned since that Pagan has been dead many a day, and as for the other, though he be yet alive, he is by reason of age and also of the many shrewd brushes that he met with in his younger days, grown so crazy and stiff in his joints, that he can now do little more than sit in his cave's mouth, grinning at the pilgrims as they go by and biting his nails because he cannot come at them. So I saw that Christian went on his way. Yet at the sight of the old man that sat in the mouth of the cave, he could not tell what to think, especially because he spoke to him, though he could not go after him, saying, You will never mend till more of you be burnt. But he held his peace and set a good face on it, and so went by and caught no hurt. Then sang Christian, O world of wonders, I can say no less, that I should be preserved in that distress that I have met with here. O blessed be that hand that from it hath delivered me. Dangers and darkness, devils, hell, and sin did compass me, while I this vale was in, yea, snares and pits and traps and nets did lie my path about, that worthless, silly I might have been catched, entangled, and cast down. But since I live, let Jesus wear the crown. Now as Christian went on his way, he came to a little ascent, which was cast up on purpose that pilgrims might see before them. Up there, therefore, Christian went, and looking forward, he saw Faithful before him upon his journey. Then said Christian aloud, Ho, Soho, stay, I will be your companion. At that Faithful looked behind him, to whom Christian cried again, Stay, stay, till I come up to you. But Faithful answered, No, I am upon my life, and the Avenger of Blood is behind me. At this Christian was somewhat moved, and putting to all his strength, he quickly got up with Faithful, and did also overrun him, so the last was first. Then did Christian vaingloriously smile, because he had gotten the start of his brother. But not taking good heed to his feet, he suddenly stumbled and fell, and could not rise again until Faithful came up to help him. Then I saw in my dream that they went very lovingly on together, and had sweet discourse of all things that happened to them in their pilgrimage, and thus Christian began. Christian said, My honored and well-beloved brother Faithful, I am glad I have overtaken you, and that God has so tempered our spirits that we can walk as companions do in this so pleasant a path. I had thought, said Faithful, dear friend, to have had your company quite from our town, but you did get the start of me, wherefore I was forced to come thus much of the way alone. How long did you stay in the city of destruction, said Christian, before you set out after me on your pilgrimage? Till I could stay no longer, for there was great talk presently after you gone out that our city would, in a short time, with fire from heaven, be burnt down to the ground. What, did your neighbors talk so? Yes, said Faith, 'twas a while in everybody's mouth. What, and did no more of them but you come out to escape the danger? Faith said, Though there was, as I said, a great talk thereabout, yet I do not think they did firmly believe it, for in the heat of the discourse I heard some of them deridingly speak of you and of your desperate journey, for so they called this your pilgrimage. But I did believe, and still do, that the end of our city will be with fire and brimstone from above, and therefore I have made my escape. Christian said, Did you hear no talk of neighbor Pliable? Yes, Christian, I heard that he followed you till he came at the Slough of Despond, where, as some said, he fell in, but he would not be known to have done so. I'm sure he was soundly bedaubed with that kind of dirt. And what said the neighbors to him, said Christian? Well, he had, since his going back, been greatly in derision, and that among all sorts of people, some do mock and despise him, and scarce will any set on him work. He is now 7 times worse than if he had never gone out of the city. But why should they be so set against him, since they also despise the way that he forsook? Faith said, Oh, they say, hang him, he is a turncoat, and he is not true to his profession. I think God has stirred up even his enemies to hiss at him, and make him a proverb, because he hath forsaken the way. Had you no talk with him before you came out? Said Christian. I met him once in the streets, but he leered away on the other side as one ashamed of what he had done, so I spoke not to him. Well, at my first setting out, I had hopes of that man, but now I fear he will perish in the overthrow of the city, for it has happened to him according to the true proverb, the dog has turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. There my fears have been too, said Faithful, but who can hinder that which will be? Well, neighbor Faithful, let us leave him, and talk of things that are more immediately concern ourselves. And tell me now what you have met with in the way as you came, for I know that you have met with some things, or else it may be a cause for wonder. I escaped the slough that I perceived you fell into, and got up to the gate without that danger. Only I met with one whose name was Wanton, that had like to have done me a mischief. Christian said, 'Twas well you escaped her net. Joseph was hard put to it by her, and he escaped her just as you did. But it would like to have cost him his life. But what did she do to you? Faith said, You cannot think, but that you know something, what a flattering tongue she had. She lay at me hard to turn aside with her, promising me all manner of content. Christian said, No, she did not promise you the content of a good conscience. Well, you know what I mean, said Faithful, all carnal and fleshly content. Thank God you've escaped her, said Christian. The abhorred of the Lord shall fall into her ditch. Nay, I know not whether I did wholly escape her or no, said Faithful. Why, I trow, said Christian, that you did not consent to her desires. No, not to defile myself, said Faithful, for I remembered an old writing that I had seen which said, Her steps take hold of hell. So I shut my eyes, because I would not be bewitched by her looks. Then she railed on me, and I went on my way. Did you meet no other assault as you came? Said Christian. Well, when I came to the foot of the hill called Difficulty, I met with a very aged man, who asked me what I was and whether I was bound, and I told him that I was a pilgrim going to the celestial city. Then said the old man, You look like an honest fellow. Will you be content to dwell with me for the wages that I shall give thee? And I asked him his name and where he dwelt, and he said his name was Adam the First. And I dwelt in the town of Deceit. I asked him then, what was his work, and what were the wages that he would give? He told me that his work was many delights, and his wages that I should be his heir at last. I further asked him what cows he kept, and what other servants he had. And he told me that his house was maintained by all the dainties in the world, and that his servants were those of his own begetting. Then I asked how many children he had, and he said that he had but 3 daughters, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and that I should marry them all if I would. Then I asked how long time would he have me live with him, and he told me as long as he had lived himself. Well, said Christian, and what conclusion came the old man and you to at last? Why, at first I found myself somewhat inclinable to go with the man, for I thought he spoke very fair, but looking in his forehead as I talked with him, I saw there written, Put off the old man with his deeds. And how then? Said Christian. Then it came a burning hot into my mind, whatever he said and however he flattered, when he got me home to his house, he would sell me for a slave. So I bid him forbear to talk, for I would not come near the door of his house. Then he reviled me and told me that he would send such a one after me that should make my way bitter to my soul. So I turned away to go from him, but just as I turned myself to go thence, I felt him take hold of my flesh and give me such a deadly twitch back that I thought he had pulled part of me after himself. This made me cry, Oh, wretched man! So I went on my way up the hill. Now when I got above halfway up, I looked behind me and saw one coming after me, swift as a wind. So he overtook just about the place where the settle stands. Just there, said Christian, did I sit down to rest me, but being overcome with sleep, I there lost this roll out of my bosom. But, said Faith, good brother, hear me out. So soon as the man overtook me, he was but a word and a blow, for down he knocked me and laid me for dead. But when I was come a little to myself, again I asked him, why did he serve me so? And he said, because of my secret inclining to Adam the first, and that he struck me another deadly blow on the breast and beat me down backwards. So I lay at his foot as dead as before. So when I came to myself again, I cried him mercy. And he said, I know not how to show mercy, and with that knocked me down again. He had doubtless made an end of me, but that one came by and bid him forbear. Oh, who was that, said Christian, that bid him forbear? I did not know him at first, but as he went by, I perceived the holes in his hands and in his side, and I concluded he was our Lord. So I went on up the hill. That man that overtook you was Moses. He spared none, neither knows he how to show mercy to those that transgress his law. Faithful said, I know it very well. It was not the first time that he has met with me. 'Twas he that came to me when I dwelt securely at home, and had told me he would burn my house over my head if I stayed there. But did you not see the house that stood there on the top of that hill, and on the side of which Moses met you? Yes, and the lions too, before I came at it. Before the lions, I think they were asleep, for it was about noon, and because I had so much of the day before me, I passed by the porter and came down the hill. Oh, he told me indeed that he saw you go by. But I wish you would have called at the house, said Christian, for they would have showed you so many rarities that you would scarce have forgot them to the day of your death. But pray tell me, did you meet nobody in the Valley of Humility? Oh, yes, said Faithful, I met with one discontent, who would willingly have persuaded me to go back again with him. His reason was, for that the valley was altogether without honor. He told me, moreover, that there to go was a way to disobey all my friends, as pride, arrogancy, self-conceit, worldly glory, and all others who he knew, as he said, would be very much offended if I made such a fool of myself as to wade through this valley. Well, said Christian, and how did you answer him? Well, I told him, said Faithful, all these things that he named might claim kindred of me, and that rightly, for indeed they were my relations according to the flesh. But since I became a pilgrim, they have disowned me. So I also have rejected them, and therefore they were to me now no more than if they had never been any of my lineage. I told him, moreover, that as to this valley, he had quite misrepresented the thing. For before honor is humility, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Therefore, said I had rather go through this valley to the honor that was so accounted by the wisest, than to choose that which he esteemed most worthy our affections. Met you with nothing else in that valley, said Christian? Oh, yes, said Faith, I met with shame. But of all the men that I've met with in my pilgrimage, he, I think, bears the wrong name. The other would be said nay, after a little argumentation, and somewhat else, but this bold-faced shame would never have done. Why, what did he say to you? What, said Christian? Why, he objected against religion itself. He said 'twas a pitiful, low, sneaking business, man to mind religion. He said that a tender conscience was an unmanly thing, and that for a man to watch over his words and ways, so as to tie himself up from that hectoring liberty that the brave spirit of the times accustomed themselves unto, would make him the ridicule of the times. He objected also that but few of the mighty, rich, or wise were ever of my opinion, nor any of them either, for they were persuaded to be fools, and to be of a voluntary fondness to venture the loss of all, for nobody else knows what. He moreover objected the base and low estate and condition of those that are chiefly the pilgrims of the times in which they lived, also their ignorance and want of understanding in all natural science. Yes, he did hold me to it at that rate also about a great many more things than here I relate, as that it was a shame to sit whining and mourning under a sermon, and a shame to come sighing and groaning home, and it was a shame to ask my neighbor's forgiveness for petty faults, or to make restitution where I had taken from any. He said also that religion made a man grow strange to the great because of a few vices, which he called by finer names, and made him own and respect the base because of the same religious fraternity. Is not this, said he, a shame? And what did you say to him, said Christian? Say, I could not tell what to say at first. Yes, he put me so to it that my blood came up in my face. Even this shame fetched it up, and he had almost beat me quite off. But at last I began to consider that that which is highly esteemed among men is had an abomination with God. And I thought again, this shame tells me what men are, but it tells me nothing what God or the Word of God is. And I thought, moreover, that at the day of doom we shall not be doomed to death or life according to the hectoring spirits of the world, but according to the wisdom and law of the highest. Therefore thought I, what God says is best, though all the men in the world are against it, seeing then that God prefers his religion, seeing God prefers a tender conscience, seeing that they make themselves fools for the kingdom of heaven are wisest, and that the poor man that loves Christ is richer than the greatest man in the world that hates him, shame, depart. You are an enemy to my salvation. Shall I entertain you against my sovereign Lord? How then shall I look him in the face at his coming? How should I now be ashamed of his ways and his servants? How can I expect the blessing? But indeed, this shame is a bold villain. I could scarce shake him out of my company. Yea, he would be haunting of me and continually whispering me in the ear with some one or other of the infirmities that attend religion. But at last I told him it was but in vain to attempt further in this business, for these glories that he disdained, and those did I see most glory. And so at last I got past this importunate one, and when I had shaken him off, I began to sing. The trials that those men do meet withal that are obedient to the heavenly call are manifold and suited to the flesh, and come and come and come again afresh, and now, or sometime else, we by them may be taken, overcome, and cast away. Oh, let the pilgrims then be vigilant and quit themselves like men. Christian said, I am glad, my brother, that you did withstand this villain so bravely. For of all, as you say, as I think he has a wrong name, for he is so bold as to follow us in the streets and to attempt to put us to shame before all men, that is, to make us ashamed of that which is good. But if he was not himself audacious, he would have never attempted to do as he does. But let us still resist him, for notwithstanding all his bravados, he promotes a fool and none else. The wise shall inherit glory, said Solomon, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Faithful said, I think we must cry to him for help against shame. That would have us be valiant for truth upon the earth. You say true, said Christian, but do you ever meet nobody else in that valley? No, not I, for I had sunshine all the rest of the way through that, and also through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, it was well for you, said Christian, I am sure. It fared far otherwise with me, for I had a long season as soon as almost I entered into that valley, a dreadful combat with that foul fiend Apollyon. Yes, I thought verily he would have killed me, especially when he got me down and crushed me under him, as if he would have crushed me to pieces. For as he threw me, my sword flew out of my hand. No, he told me he was sure of me, but I cried to God, and he heard me and delivered me out of all my troubles. Then I entered into the valley of the shadow of death and had no light for almost half the way through it. I thought I should have been killed there over and over. But at last day broke, and the sun rose, and I went through that which was behind with far more ease and quiet. Moreover, I saw in my dream that as they went on, Faithful, as he chanced to look on one side, saw a man whose name was Talkative, walking at a distance beside them. For in this place there was room enough for them all to walk. He was a tall man, and something more comely at a distance than at hand. To this man Faithful addressed himself in this manner, Friend, whither away are you going to that heavenly country? Talkative said, I'm going to that same place. That is well. Then I hope that we may have your good company. With a very good will, I will be your companion. Come on then, Faithful said, and let us go on together, and let us spend our time in discoursing of things that are profitable. Talkative said, To talk of things that are good to me is very acceptable with you or with any other, and I am glad that I have met with those that are inclined to do so good a work. For to speak the truth, there are but a few that care thus to spend their time, as they are in their travels, but choose much rather to be speaking of things to no profit. This has been a trouble to me. Faithful said, That is indeed a thing to be lamented. For what things so worthy of the use of the tongue and mouth of men on earth as are the things of God in heaven? Well, I like you wonderful well, said Talkative, for your sayings are full of conviction. I will add, what thing is so pleasant, and what is so profitable as to talk of the things of God? What thing so pleasant? That is, if a man has any delight in things that are wonderful, for example, if a man does delight to talk of the history or the mystery of things, or if a man does love to talk of miracles, wonders, or signs, and where shall he found things recorded so delightful and so sweetly penned as in the Holy Scripture? That's true, said Faithful, but to be profited by such things in our talk should be that which we design. That is what I said, said Talkative. For to talk of such things is most profitable, for by so doing a man may get knowledge of many things, as of the vanity of earthly things, and the benefit of things above. Thus in general, but more particularly, by this a man may learn the necessity of the new birth, the insufficiency of our works, the need of Christ's righteousness, and so forth. Besides, by this a man may learn what it is to repent, to believe, to pray, to suffer, and the like. By this also a man may learn that what are the great promises and consolations of the gospel to his own comfort. Further, by this a man may learn to refute false opinions, to vindicate the truth, and also to instruct the ignorant. All this is true, said Faithful, and glad I am to hear these things from you. Talkative said, alas, the one of this is the cause that so few understand the need of faith and the necessity of a work of grace in their soul in order to eternal life, but ignorantly live in the works of the law by which mankind can by no means obtain the kingdom of heaven. But by your leave, said Faithful, heavenly knowledge of these is the gift of God. No man attaineth to them by human industry or just by the talk of them. Well, all this I know very well, said Talkative, for man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. All is of grace, not of works. I would give you 100 scriptures for the confirmation of this. Well then, said Faithful, what is that one thing that we shall at this time found our discourse upon? Well, what you will, said Talkative. I will talk of things heavenly or things earthly, things moral or things evangelical, things sacred or things profane, things past or things to come, things foreign or things at home, things more essential or things circumstantial, provided that all be done to our profit. Now did Faithful begin to wonder, and stepping to Christian, for he walked all the while by himself, he said to him, but softly, what a brave companion have we got! Surely this man will make a very excellent pilgrim. At this Christian modestly smiled and said, this man with whom you are so taken will beguile with his tongue of his 20 of them that know him not. Do you know him then? Said Faithful. Know him, said Christian. Yes, better than he knows himself. Well, pray, what is he? His name is Talkative. He dwells in our town, and I wonder that you should be a stranger to him, only I consider that our town is large. Well, whose son is he? Said Faithful, and whereabout does he dwell? Christian said, he is the son of one Saywell. He dwelt in Pratting Row, and he is known of all that are acquainted with him by the name of Talkative in Pratting Row, and notwithstanding his fine tongue, he is but a sorry fellow. Well, said Faith, he seems to be a very pretty man. That is to them that have not a thorough acquaintance with him, said Christian, for he is best abroad, near home he is ugly enough. Your saying that he is a pretty man brings to my mind that I have observed in the work of the painter, whose pictures show best at a distance, but very near, more unpleasing. But I am ready to think you do but jest, said Faithful, because you smiled. Christian said, God forbid that I should jest, though I smiled in this matter, or that I should accuse any falsely. I will give you further discovery of him, for this man is for any company and for any talk, and as he talks now with you, so will he talk when he is on the ale bench. And the more drink he has in his crown, the more these things he has in his mouth. Religion has no place in his heart, or house, or conversation. All he has lies on his tongue, and his religion is to make a noise therewith. Say you so, said Faithful. Then I am in this man greatly deceived. Deceived, you may be sure of it. Remember the proverb, they say and do not. But the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. He talks of prayer, of repentance, of faith, and new birth, but he knows only to talk of them. I have been in his family, and have observed him both at home and abroad. I know what I say of him is the truth. His house is as the empty of religion as a white of an egg is of a flavor. Yes, there is neither prayer nor sign of repentance for sin. Yes, the brute in his kind serves God far better than he. He is a very stain, reproach, and shame of religion to all that know him. It can hardly have a good word in all that end of the town where he dwells through him. Thus say the common people that know him, a saint abroad and a devil at home. His poor family finds it so. He is such a churl, such a railer at, and so unreasonable with his servants, that they neither know how to do for or to speak to him. Men that have any dealings with him say, 'Tis better to deal with a Turk than with him, for fair dealing they shall have at their hands. This talkative, if it be possible, will go beyond them, defraud, beguile, and overreach them. Besides, he brings up his sons to follow his steps. And if he findeth in any of them a foolish timorousness, so he calls the first appearance of a tender conscience, he calls them fools and blockheads, and by no means will employ them in much or speak to their commendations before others. As for my part, I am of opinion that he has, by his wicked life, caused many to stumble and fall, and will be, if God prevent not, the ruin of many more. Well, my brother, I am bound to believe you, not only because you say you know him, but because also, like a Christian, you make your reports of men. For I cannot think that you speak these things of ill will, but because it is even so as you say. Said Christian, had I known him no more than you, I might perhaps have thought of him at the first as you did. Yes, had he received this report at their hands only that are enemies to religion, I should have thought it had been a slander. A lot that often falls from bad men's mouths upon good men's names and professions. But all these things, yes, and a great many more as bad, of my own knowledge, I can prove him guilty of. Besides, good men are ashamed of him. They can neither call him brother nor friend. The very naming of him among them makes them blush if they know him. Faithful said, well, I see that saying or doing are two different things, and hereafter I shall better observe this distinction. They are two things indeed, said Christian, and are as diverse as are the soul and the body. For as a body without the soul is but a dead carcass, so saying, if it be alone, is but a dead carcass also. The soul of religion is the practic part. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This talkative is not aware of this. He thinks that hearing and saying will make a good Christian, and thus he deceives his own soul. Hearing is but the sowing of the seed. Talking is not sufficient to prove that fruit is indeed in the heart and life. And let us assure ourselves that in the day of doom, men shall be judged according to their fruit. It will not be then said, do you believe, but were you doers or talkers only? And accordingly they shall be judged. The end of the world is compared to our harvest, and as you know, men at harvest regard nothing but fruit, nor that anything can be accepted that is not of faith. But I speak this to show you how insignificant the profession of talkative will be in that day. We'll continue next week with this conversation between Faithful and Christian. See you then.